Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Illinois State Treasurer Michael Frerichs, he's held our state's top financial office for 10 years and is the state's chief investment and banking officer. He handles more than $52 billion of our state's funds. Hey, Treasurer, how are you? Happy New Year to you.
Karen, I am wonderful. Happy New Year. And I always love and appreciate hearing that intro music.
It's
a great song for a treasurer.
It is your theme song. It is definitely your theme song. I was going to say take the money and run, but I think that's not a good message.
not as good as money.
No.
We're excited. We have New Year's resolutions in our house as well. We've made resolutions to be in better shape, to eat better. But the most common resolution that Americans make is do better with their finances. So this is a good time of year. If you feel your finances have gotten out of order, if you feel the state's finances have gotten out of order, now's the time to focus on them.
Absolutely. And so let's start with this unclaimed funds. The Treasurer's office has had a record $2 billion of money that has been refunded to people and corporations and nonprofits since you started. And I just want to, you know, have you tell our listeners about it. Where these funds come from? Where are they sitting now? And how do people try to find if they have money waiting for them?
Yeah, we've smashed records, returned over $2 billion. We're actually getting pretty close to $2.5 billion returned since taking office. And the common question is, where does this come from? It could be something as simple as a last paycheck for a previous employer. Maybe you put a deposit down with a power company or a water company and you moved and you didn't get that. It could be a rebate or a refund that you never were able to claim. Often, when someone passes away, they have their money, they have their assets in various accounts and safe deposit boxes, and they don't always tell their spouse or their children all the places they've saved their money. Or one big source of money has been our fight with the life insurance industry. We've discovered over $800 million in unpaid death benefits for people who have passed away. Literal widows and orphans didn't get their money. We fight every day to get that money back into Illinois citizens' hands.
So, and I will tell you, you know, I did this a long time ago thinking, well, I wouldn't have money. I'd know if I had money. And every time I looked on the site, I would say one out of four times there is something from one of my law firms or from me or one of my family members that I note, and I get to give them a call and give them some good news. But I have recovered money myself, and it's a really painless process. And I think your office, a treasurer, has really made the process a lot easier. Can you give us kind of a step-by-step for people who may not be real computer savvy on how you access this money and find out if you've got money waiting for you?
Well, we have made it easier, and I'll give you a step-by-step of why we did this and how it used to be. When I was running for treasurer, I did a search on myself, found that the treasurer had $25 for me. I went and called and was told, hey, go to this website, download a form, print it out, fill it out, provide this supporting documentation, take it and get it notarized from a notary, mail it into us, and we'll mail you your check back. And I just thought that was too big of a hassle for $25, so I never claimed it. But when I came into office, I said, surely with new technology, with advances we've had, we can do this better. And so we started, one of the first things we did was e-claiming, allowing you to take a picture of some of this documentation and send us an email with it. You don't have to actually mail it to us. You know, there's a lot of information about you, Karen, online, and by you, I mean anyone out there.
Right.
We decided to use the power of the internet to track down, so you don't have to actually go and find a copy of a lease or a power bill from that apartment you lived in 15 years ago. There's a record of that online, and we use LexisNexis to search. And if we can prove online that you live there, we don't make you search through boxes of old documents. And then we also use power of technology. We have state databases of people at their addresses. We're now matching our database of unclaimed property with other state databases, and in some cases, just mailing checks to people. This summer, we started mailing out 400,000 claims to people in Illinois. That's by thinking differently. Doing things differently, we get more done.
That's fabulous. And you know, on that note, you know, you are in your 10th year, I believe. Is that correct, of being treasurer?
Approaching our 11-year anniversary.
11, okay. Are you still enjoying your job? Because you have so much enthusiasm for it. You have so many great ideas. You've implemented so many good programs that affect people of all walks of life. Are you still really enjoying your tenure?
If we were on TV, you could see a big smile on my face. The answer is an unequivocal yes. I love my job. I'll keep doing my job as long as voters will have me and as long as I enjoy it and find I'm challenged.
You know,
but it's very rewarding.
Before we take a break, I just want to interject just a question, kind of a personal question, but also a commentary on what's going on. I was Googling one of your interviews or one of your speeches that you gave to one of the community organizations, and you were talking about how people are fed up with politicians on both sides of the aisle, and that people are looking at politicians, and there's the lowest ever approval rating, I think, going on right now. What do you think politicians should do? What do you do to kind of counter that? Because you're a very positive person. You have support from both sides of the aisle, and you have won awards nationally for holding your office and doing a good job. And you've done it kind of above the fray, in my view. So, like, what would you say to politicians out there to regain the trust of the Illinois voters?
Well, I guess people lump all politicians together because the ones they hear about are the ones who show up in the news. And you show up in the news when you engage in conflict. Or now with social media, a politician ends up in your feed because there's some sort of conflict. And the social media companies think that's going to drive eyeballs. But if you don't like what you're seeing, if you want things to be different, you should model how you want it to be. And I think we should be more positive. It's something I try to be. I still have disagreements with other politicians, but that doesn't mean we have to be disagreeable about it. We shouldn't run and attack people personally right out of the gate just because there's a disagreement. And I think what you should do is focus on making a difference. And then the public, if they see examples of politicians actually making their lives better, putting more money in their pocket, giving the tools they need to have financial freedom, then I think we can start to regain their trust. But going into this downward spiral of just firing angry tweets back and forth at each other, calling people names, is not a way to regain trust.
And to get into the weeds just a little bit, if you are dealing with somebody in the government who may oppose you for whatever reason, politics or otherwise, how do you address it? Do you confront it? Do you say, Sally Smith, you know, I know we don't agree on this issue and maybe we come from different political bents, but, you know, how do you dispel that? How do you get rid of that on a one-on-one basis?
Well, it's tough. It depends case by case. There have been people who have said things about me and they don't really know me. And I'll call and reach out and say, hey, if you have a problem with me, here's my cell phone number. Give me a call. Happy to talk with you. If after we talk, we just have a disagreement, you can air that. There are some out there that just look to provoke, and I try not to respond. And then I think you can also be proactive. You know, I grew up downstate. When I first got elected to the state Senate, I had a Republican state representative, and he campaigned against me. But after I got elected, he became one of my best partners in state government. We put our differences aside, found places where we had agreement, and worked together on those. And so, you know, I will routinely reach out to Republican leaders in the legislature, tell them about some of my bills, some of the ideas I have. They're not always going to support them, but they were duly elected as well, and they have a right to weigh in. And so I try to be a little more proactive and open to people. And I think that hopefully a lot of people in Springfield know if they have an issue with me, I'm more than happy to discuss.
That's refreshing. And let's just circle back one more time before we go to break, and I'm going to talk about some of your other programs on the other side of the news. But how do people access these unclaimed funds? Where do they go to do it?
Well, our website is pretty simple, illinoistreasurer.gov. Illinoistreasurer, one word, .gov. If you want to go directly to unclaimed property, iCash. ICASH.illinoistreasurer.gov. There's a simple database there. You can put your name in. If you have a common name, maybe also put a town or towns you lived in. If you have a really common name, you might put a street address in there. If you have an uncommon last name, you just put your last name in, and you can find information on maybe yourself or relatives of yours. And so we find that earlier you said about one in four times, we find about one in four people who go to our website find we have something that belongs to them. But I encourage people, check for yourself. Also check for your family members, especially any deceased family members. Time and time again, there are parents who have passed away and they didn't leave detailed notes of all of the accounts and safe deposit boxes they had. Their money came into our possession, but it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to their heirs, and we'd like to get it into their hands. So check the database for family members as well. You can also check for businesses or nonprofits or organizations you've been part of, because it's not just for individuals. We also have hundreds of millions of dollars for nonprofits and for businesses.
And I encourage everyone to do it. Put it on your list for tomorrow, or why not just do it today? It's kind of fun. And I will tell you, it's not that hard, and the documentation that you have to provide is normally, you know, not that onerous. And I have also known that if you have a problem and you send an email, it's pretty user-friendly. You've got people there who are going to help you. And I've had listeners call me, and I've tried to help them get their money. It's a great program, and I encourage you all to do it. I did see that you used some of the unclaimed funds to do some good in the community during the Christmas holidays. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, you know, there were a lot of legislation that and actions in the Trump administration that reduced money for food banks in our state. And we said, well, what can we do to help? Now, we're sitting on an awful lot of money, and so I directed my team to look, and we discovered over $100,000 in unclaimed property owed to food banks in Illinois. We went ahead and contacted them, tried to get that money into their hands, because we know, especially going into the holidays, there are a lot of people with food insecurity that we wanted to help. And I think it's terrible to be hungry any time of year, but especially around Christmas.
Well, good. It's always a good place to donate money. And I'm a big fan of some of the good places we have around in the Chicago area. Let's pivot a little bit and talk about a topic that I know is one that I read about all the time. We read especially during like the Veterans holidays, the Operation Purple Heart. I believe you're in your fifth year of doing this, and you are basically actively seeking the public's help in returning military medals to families of the rightful owners. Can you tell us about this project and how you had the idea to do this?
Well, when I came into office, I discovered that we were holding some Purple Hearts. We had one displayed in a cabinet when I came in. I thought it was really cool, but it doesn't belong to us. It belonged to somebody. So I told myself, let's deputize them as detectives to go out and find out who it belonged to. And we returned one. We returned another. It was great. It was very rewarding. But, you know, some of these, the reason they come to us is because someone has passed away. And it's not always in the safe deposit box of the medal recipient. These are difficult to return. Generally, names are not engraved on them. And so we decided 5 years ago, let's enlist the help of the public out there. There are a lot of people who say things like, I really respect, I value the sacrifices that people made for our country. And we asked them to do just a little bit. We created a website, OperationPurpleHeart.org. We can go there, look, find information on the Purple Hearts we still have to return. And if they can provide us with any clues, help, advice, we'd love to return more of them. Since taking office, we've returned 18 Purple Hearts, and we're currently in possession of 6 that we'd like to get back into the warm embrace of family and out of our cold vault.
I mean, it's just amazing that somebody will have... What do you speculate is the reason that somebody would leave it somewhere where no one would find it? Because it seems to me, I mean, a Purple Heart is just the ultimate in bravery in our country and the dedication to our country. Like, why would it not be given to somebody next of kin?
It is because they're so valuable. People don't want to leave them in their homes. They don't want them to be stolen. They don't want them to be burnt up in a home fire. So they store them in a bank safe deposit box. And because of that, they don't always tell their children where they have stored their valuables. And when they pass away, no one claims them and they get turned over to us. Now, the other reason we think so many are turned over to us is because you could only earn a Purple Heart in two ways, by being injured in battle or dying in battle. And that means it was probably a traumatic experience for you. In some cases, people earn them while watching several of their comrades die. That kind of trauma is hard for me to imagine. I have talked to one of our recipients about this. It was really, really difficult for him to talk about. And so a lot of these people came home from war with their Purple Hearts. It was important to them. But I think some of them didn't want to share that trauma with their family members. Now, we called one woman in Peoria, said, "We have your father's Purple Heart." And she says, "Well, that can't be. My father never earned a Purple Heart." Well, we knew it was her father's because in that safe deposit box, along with the Purple Heart, was the letter explaining why he received it, his discharge papers from the military. We had no doubt it was his, but he went off, served his country in Korea, did something heroic, and came back and never discussed it, never told his daughter about it, just didn't talk about it. And so it was a really special reunion there because she told us she felt like she had learned something new about her father after his death. It was a way of reconnecting with him after he was gone.
What great stories. And I know that you have received the Patriot Award, the ESGR Patriot Award, for your commitment to Illinois veterans. And I really appreciate that you're doing this. Before we take another break here, and we're going to then talk about the Treasurer's Office Secure Choice Program, which is for people who want to retire someday and might want some money to retire with, and also college savings, which is a big, big issue. But, you know, you did mention that you are from Gifford. You said a small town, but Gifford, Illinois is a small town. You grew up there. You attended Yale, and then you spent 2 years in Taiwan where you taught English, and you also learned to speak Chinese. You have been a businessman. You started your own tech company, and you're a volunteer firefighter. What an interesting background, and I guess I'd like to know, you know, being a successful politician, and when I say that in the best use of the word politician, you, how did your background make you be successful at doing what you do? All those different pieces, how did they fit into making you a success?
Well, I'll say two things. I get that question a lot when people find out my early background. They say, well, how does this translate? But before becoming treasurer, I served in the Illinois State Senate. I served on the Financial Services Committee. I had a good working knowledge of state government. Before then, I served 4 years as the Champaign County Auditor. I was very involved in the Government Finance Officers Association and became a certified public finance officer. I think that's the training that really prepared me for this particular role. But I also think to be good in public service, you need to understand your constituents. I think a diverse experience, a diverse background is helpful. You know, it's great when we have experts. We hire a lot of experts to work, but people who are making decisions should understand people from different walks of life, different industries they come from. And so having a varied background, I think, has made it easier for me to communicate with people, to understand where they're coming from, and gives me a different perspective on what government can do. I think some people think that the best way to be involved in government is to be involved with government forever. But I think a different perspective can be really helpful. And so that approach that allowed us to completely overhaul our unclaimed property allowed me to see programs out there that never existed before and to create them in order to address needs from people in the state. And so I can't say that as a young man, I dreamed up being state treasurer and designed a career to get here. It was a lot of very different steps, but I think I'm exactly where I am meant to be today.
From the 630 area code, that she sees something on the iCash website, and it's a person who's deceased, a family member, and she's next of kin. How do you document that to make sure that the money goes to the person who's next of kin?
Yeah, so it is a little more difficult when someone has passed away, but it's not impossible, and we return tens of millions of dollars that way every year. Go to our website, fill out. What we're going to have to show is a will to demonstrate where they wanted their money to go. Barring that, some sort of probate court record. We've made things a lot easier for people to claim their money, but if someone has passed away, we have to follow state probate law. And so it is possible. Our staff can help you with it, but it will require a little more documentation. You know, people are upset when they find out that they have to provide additional documentation. But that's not nearly as upset as when they find out we gave their loved ones money away to an identity thief.
Well, exactly.
To prove you are the right person.
Yeah, I mean, you are bound by the law to give it to the right person. And I think, you know, when people die without a will or a trust, and they say, well, I'm the sole survivor, how does the treasurer's office know? And so that does add just a little bit extra problem there. But thank you for the text, and hopefully that'll help some people when they do their searches. Let's talk a little bit about retirement savings. You have said over and over again that nearly half of all working age families have nothing saved for retirement. How big of a problem is that? And tell us what your program, Secure Choice, does for people.
Well, it's a real problem. And some people think, oh, well, hey, everyone knows they need to save their retirement. If someone didn't save retirement, that's their problem, not mine. Well, that's not true. When people don't save for retirement, it means that they don't retire as early. They keep working longer, and that those are jobs that aren't opening up for young people. Or maybe they do retire, and they're living just off of Social Security, and they're living near poverty. They're spending less money. That's a problem for our economy. And so we want to do something to help more people do what they already know they need to do. Everyone knows they need to save for retirement. Secure Choice is our answer. We find that the one sure way of helping people save for retirement is by offering them a workplace option. People are 15 times more likely to be saving for retirement if they can save at their workplace, like through a pension or a 401k. And so Secure Choice just offers workplace deductions that go into your own individually managed Roth IRA. This is something everyone could do. They could set up an IRA. They could make contributions. But if you don't make it easy for them, too many people just don't do it, or they put it off until it's too late. The real benefit of saving is not just the money you put away, but the growth through your investments.
So this is so say you're working at a place and they don't have a retirement of a pension, they don't have a 401k plan. This is something that you can implement yourself, and it would automatically be deducted from your paycheck?
Well, so you can do this. If you work for an employer that's been doing business in Illinois for more than 2 years and they have more than five employees and they don't offer a pension or 401k, then they're required to participate. You just go and say, hey, this is state law. Why aren't we following it? If you work for a smaller employer, one that's been doing business less than 2 years, they're not required to do it, but they still could. If they reach out to us, we can sign them up for it. In the worst-case scenario, we've got an employer who just says, nope, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be in compliance. You can participate in Illinois Secure Choice, but we need the employer's help to send the contributions. Otherwise, you can just set up, if you're a member of Illinois Secure Choice, but you'll have to send us your contributions yourself.
Great. And so this is another thing you should check out. And where can people go to find out more about this program?
All this information you can find from our website, illinoistreasurer.gov. You can find information on our retirement savings, on our college savings, savings for people with disabilities, unclaimed property, our investments, any of the number of good things we do in the treasurer's office.
Now, I Googled this before I did this little outline for you, treasurer. In 10 years, an Illinois public university could cost somewhere between $50,000 and $70,000 per year, meaning that a four-year degree could be somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000. It's like having a mortgage with no house, right, to have a four-year college degree. And that is just such a daunting thing for young people. Your office manages Bright Start, Bright Directions, and First Steps. Can you just tell our listeners a little bit about these programs? Who can set them up? Do you have to be a parent, and how these programs work?
Yeah, well, those numbers are scary, and hopefully it will scare some people into taking action. Because if you think that a college degree is a ticket to success for your children, the time to start saving is yesterday. If you didn't start yesterday, start today. And it doesn't have to just be for a child. You can set up an account for a child, for a grandchild, for a niece or a nephew. If you're a big sib to somebody, you can set up an account for them. You put money in, you can invest that money, and that money, that growth, is tax-free. And so if you know there's going to be a big bill coming in the future, the answer is start saving today rather than leave them strapped with debt for the rest of their lives.
And, you know, I did set up these accounts for my nephews, and it was user-friendly, and I forgot exactly what the program was called, but we bought, like, semesters, so I would buy a semester, and I don't know if it's still this way, but you freeze in time as to what the state cost is. So if University of Illinois is $33,000 a year, I'm just making that number up. Even if it becomes $50,000 later, you are still able to buy it at that price today. Is that still the way it works?
That is our College Illinois program. That was a prepaid tuition. The state no longer offers that.
Oh, okay.
Never in my office, but doesn't offer that. And so what we have is a couple other 529 programs, Bright Start, Bright Directions. This is you're funded by your contribution. It's sort of like a 401k. You put money in, you invest it, it grows to a certain amount, and that's what you have in your retirement. The same thing, you put money in, invest it, and that's what you have to pay for college. The program you had that no longer exists in Illinois is more like a pension where you put money in, the employer puts money in, they bear the risk there if prices go up too much or if their investment returns aren't as high as expected.
Great. So put that on your checklist of things to do. And let's talk finally about the ABLE, A-B-L-E program. I get a lot of listeners who are have disabled children or adults who they're caring for, and this could be something very valuable. Can you explain what this program is?
Yeah, ABLE simply stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. We want to give these people with disabilities a better life experience, except the system has been set up to stop that. If someone has a severe disability and they qualify for federal benefits, those benefits, Karen, are means tested. That means they can't have more than $2,000 in assets or they lose their benefits. What that means is parents were forced to keep their children in near poverty in order to keep getting their federal benefits. That meant that parents didn't want their children to have jobs if they could have a job of some sort. So we set up the ABLE program. You're able, it's a 529 program, works a lot like college savings. You put money in, you can invest it, you can take it out tax-free as long as it's used for disability-related expense. But the really beautiful thing about this program is you can save up to $100,000 in an ABLE account without losing your federal benefits. This allows a lot more people to work and save. It allows family members to contribute to their family members' future without fear of losing those really important benefits.
That sounds fabulous, and all is on the Treasurer's website, right?
That is. You can find information about ABLE as well. That's a program people don't know about. It's one that we set up. Secure Choice is a program that we set up. You know, we also do things differently to try and create jobs in the state through our Illinois Growth and Innovation Fund or Infrastructure Investment Fund, putting people to work here in Illinois, improving our business community. You know, what we really want is more people this time, well, let's say this time of year, year-round, to have financial freedom. We want fewer people out there anxious about how they're going to pay their rent or mortgage or for groceries. We know that's a problem for a lot of people. We can't solve all problems out there, but we want to be part of the solution, and we want to do what we can to give people greater freedom.
And so everyone needs to take advantage of these things. And if you don't understand them, I think the website is pretty user-friendly, and I know that you have really good people working for you, a treasurer who can help explain it. And if you have a financial advisor or somebody who is helping you, they can certainly assist you in getting these things accomplished. Treasurer, thank you so much for joining us. Happy New Year to you.
Karen, thank you very much for having me on, allowing me to talk about these great programs. I do really love this job. And Happy New Year to you.